hang in there. It is.
Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Here we are, another major championship addition to that throw you off guard. That intro is just
rock and roll.
We are at the very end of a long, long day at Oakmont U.S. Open Thursday. Smiley still got his booth regalia. We watched him close out the final hour plus on Peacock. So he's got this very unique amalgamation of outfits here. Jackson and I have been on site all day long, walking around, following you a little bit with your group. Just day one. So it was good out here today, wasn't it?
It was hot.
It got hotter than we thought.
A couple times was definitely gasping for air walking up some of these hills. It was a tough walk out there. Just U.S. Open's already hard. You know, the golf course is going to beat you up. But then throw in some physical elements, too, that were making it even more tougher on guys today. So you're trying to manage the golf course, your body. And it's not short. I mean, they're playing threesomes, and it probably took them at least 5.5 hours to play. And I'm not saying that. I mean, this is what these guys sign up for. They know they're playing a U.S. Open, but still, it was I think a good start to the week. I think when everybody woke up this morning, they see that, you know, JJ Spahn's 4 under par, and they see multiple people under par. They start to wonder: Is Oakmont
not hard anymore?
Yeah,
is Oakmont easy?
Is it all cracked up to be what everybody's made it out to be, which is one of the hardest tests we've seen in a while? And I think ultimately at the end of the day, you got to remember too, the wind was at most a 1 club wind today. It was pretty prime-ish scoring conditions with greens that were still somewhat receptive.
Yeah, and we want to get into the course, JJ, a couple player names. We're going to start with we saw you out there. 16th hole, walking along with the group of Jordan Spieth, John Rahm, and Dustin Johnson. Took a little video, put it on social media of a little caption contest. What do you think these two were talking about? What do you think Jordan and Smiley were talking about in the back of 16 green, wrong answers only? We had Dr. Brett McCabe chimed in with a Texas LSU baseball controversy. We had Scott Wolf said Michael Lasasso's legs. And then I have like a triple shout out to three good of commenters on Instagram. Jansen Kid 97 said rain shorts, no doubt. Elway 36 says if the Hope Valley member guest should be an elevated event. And then Jake DePeg really drove it home, said talking about the guilt from putting Taco Bell trash in a Dunkin' car park. So
you're actually not going to believe what we were talking about.
Okay, well, what were you talking about? This is the right answer.
Well, we happen to be talking about, we don't think that Bill Belichick is going to make it through a full season. And he disagreed, and I said I think there's a chance that he might.
You did. You were kind of on my side.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts about
it? I thought he might make it through the season, like maybe fired before the bowl game type of deal.
Listen, I'm here to back the program. It's all outside noise right now, to use Coach Belichick's
line. What were we talking about? He just made a birdie putt at 16. Yeah. I asked him what is – yeah.
Great dab.
Greller and I always dab whenever he makes birdie. So if you go just look at Greller, and he'll just do the little mini dab. And so I'll always hit with the double dab. And then sometimes if Jordan's like not – like if he's out of the mode there for a second, I'll sometimes throw a dab his way. Most of the time, nothing in return. But every now and then you'll get a dab. So you just got to be ready for it.
He looked excited. He gave you a big smile after that he rolled in that birdie.
It was about 16. The read. It was. I was curious how he, what he read. I thought it was going to be like just a little outside right. He's like, yeah, just a little outside left. I was like, yeah, same. That's what I saw.
Well, we had two other friends of the show out there today that Jackson and I were doing some intrepid reporting on. Ryder Cup hopefuls Andrew Novak and Ben Griffin. And we had a little something also on our Instagram where we were shooting video of them and trying to determine whether or not they were looking straight at us. And we got to the bottom of this. We did some reporting. We heard from Andrew Novak himself. He said, Ben and I were looking at the leaderboard. It showed JJ Spahn making a 1 on 16. They're trying to figure it out, and then it changed about 5 seconds later. So there's your reporting.
Here you two are like, oh, my gosh.
We made it.
They're looking at us.
They really care. They remember us. They did not. They just thought JJ Spahn made an ace.
They're friends of the show.
They are friends of the show.
Maybe they just remembered.
Well, so and that's a good place to start in terms of where they were walking, because that 17th hole Jackson and I both, just being out there, I thought it was so delightful. All the different ways that hole was played. You saw two guys coming down the stretch that both needed birdies for big, you know, different reasons. Brooks Koepka and Xander Schauffele both birdied 17 and 18 and went about it completely differently. Where Brooks hit a driver over the back of the green, had a nice little kind of uneven line, chipped it up short, made a birdie, and Xander laid it up short. And then hit a nice wedge back there, made birdie. I saw in that group, Andrew, Ben, and Maverick McNealy all hit in that right greenside bunker. Andrew hits his short, Maverick hits his long, and Ben hits his perfect and makes a birdie from there. I just thought it was really cool how you had a lot of different options of way to play the hole, some of which you get penalized for a lot, but all of which seemed to give you an opportunity to make a three, which was key for a lot of guys coming down the stretch.
17 is going to be awesome, and it's going to even get better when they put the hole location. Like today, I thought it was the most accessible hole location on the green.
Right, yeah.
Maybe you can argue the front left from the tee would be the most accessible, as that, really like is the opening that anybody, that's where everybody's looking to try to play it anyways. So, but from a second shot standpoint, I feel like you have some room to work with. If you're in any of the bunkers, really, you can kind of, I think, get it up and down. But we saw plenty of players ended up on the downslope on that front right bunker, which is, I think, going to be
Rasmus Højgaard, that little rough downslope.
I do think that's going to be a huge part of the storyline come the end of this week. Somebody's going to get stuck on that downslope and going to make a mess of that 17th hole.
It's such a good hole, too. Like, just the blind tee shot going up the hill and just all the different ways, you know, depending on where the pin placements are, of, you know, what you can do with tee club choice. And looking forward to seeing – that was an exciting start to the tournament, and three more rounds where we're going to see some fun stuff at that drivable par four. Let's talk about your group. You had John Rahm. You text us from the course. I believe at this point he was one over. And you said, look, I think he might win this golf tournament. The way he's driving right now, he ended up, at least last I checked, first of strokes gained off the tee. Lost some strokes putting, had a few narrow misses. But how about this for a stat? His last six opening rounds at the U.S. Open, all one under 69s.
That's an awesome way to start a U.S.
Right
Open.
Position.
That's an awesome way to start a U.S. Open.
What do you see from him? And I assume that for a guy that you feel like he can putt better, to drive it as good as he did and end up where he is on the leaderboard, he's right in position.
I think John Rahm should be the favorite. I'm not sure what the odds say at this point, but from what I saw today, his ball striking was just stupid. He was hitting it unbelievable off the tee, driving it down the middle of the fairway. And what surprised me, too, was how hard he was hitting it. He's definitely picked up some distance recently that I haven't. Of course, I got to see him week in and week out. But he was a good 20 to 30 past Dustin, and Dustin's really lost some speed, man. Like, he doesn't hit it nearly as far as he used to. That was a surprise to me today. And then Jordan's hitting it really far, but even on Jordan's good ones and Rahm's good ones, Rahm would be a good 10 to 15 in front of him.
And Jordan, we have a stat from the Elias Sports Bureau. Jordan, his round today included three bounce-back birdies, matching his career high for any major championship round. He also did it in 2015 at St. Andrews. The experience was experiencing today. A little bit, I guess.
I thought he hit it really, really well.
Yeah.
I think he's, when he goes to bed tonight, he's going to feel good about where his game's at. I love the way he was hitting it off the tee. Just a couple ones that were just a little slight pulls, but something that's easily, I think, fixable. And just the overall, like, mid-iron game was really, really solid. So I saw so many great things from Jordan today. Missed, he didn't have quite as good as touch as you were probably looking for with the putter. Definitely let some get away with a couple three putts, not being quite as good with the speed at times. But like you said, you know, he's resilient at, and good at, you know, with the bounce back category, and he fought hard today.
Jordan's at even par. He's four shots off JJ Spahn's lead. JJ, a bogey free 66. You were with that group today, and you were in the booth, so you didn't see much of his round.
I watched most of it. Well, JJ?
I'd love to hear your take on that, but also you spent some time with him earlier in the week for a Srixon conversation, and he was just talking about the importance not only of tee accuracy, but shaping shots into those slope landing areas. With all that said, it was really his putter that they got it done today. Gained more than four strokes gain on the green. Only hit 57% of his fairways, and I believe two-thirds of his green. So that's kind of how he scored today.
You know what? When you hear that, it makes you think that JJ Spahn still has some good golf in front of him this week. Knowing that his strength of his game is his ball striking, he is so underrated. I think when people just see his name, they don't think enough about what type of player he is. You know, he's He's not like this big, tall, powerful dude. He doesn't swing out of his shoes. It's not like the most sexy thing in the world. But what he's really good at is finding fairways, finding greens. And what he's struggled with, I think his Achilles heel has been his putter. And today, you know, being first in Shark's Game putting, that's a big step in the right direction for him. So I think JJ is going to be one of those players. There was going to be a player this week that is in that type of category of a really elite ball striker. Maybe not the longest player, but good at putting it in front of him, putting in the fairway, putting in the green. And JJ Spahn definitely could be that guy this week.
Yeah, and then one shot off of JJ's lead, Tristan Lawrence. We saw him play great in the Open Championship last year. He's a 3-under. And we also met a fan of the show out there, Anthony, who I guess commented on our YouTube video, but also told us that he took Tristan at 100-1. It's a long shot. So I think he might have won. He's currently winning the long shot standings. Good for you, Anthony. Thanks for listening to the show. Well, let's see. I did not see where Ben On finished. So I guess that means not good enough. Not as good as Tristan Lawrence at the very least.
Quick commercial break. I gotta call face on my daughter before she goes to bed.
Okay.
And we're back. Thank you hanging in there with us after we talk to our families there for a minute.
Smiley, we are going to play a little bit of a game next, okay? And it's a variation on a game you've been playing very well the past couple weeks where there's an odds guessing element involved. Ooh. We're doing it with the help of our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. This week only, new customers can bet just $5 and win $300 in bonus bets if your bet hits. So here's how we're going to play this game. I'm going to give you a player, and they're standing on the leaderboard. I want you to try to guess their odds. But then on the back end of that, I want you to tell me whether you're more or less optimistic about this player's chances than the odds makers are, okay? We're going to start with Brooks Koepka, 2-under. He's tied for third currently. What do you think his odds are to win outright right now?
I'm going to probably go with he's probably 12-1.
On the number. This guy's good. Okay, so 12-1. So you agree with right where he stands, just about?
Well, I think if he would have shot 2-under, you know, 3 years ago, he would have probably been more close to that plus 500. But I think the odds makers, I imagine, are wanting to see more of can he keep it up? You know, the game has been inconsistent at times. So I'm for one want to see, you know, what he's going to do tomorrow. Can you follow up a really good round with another one on Friday?
Yeah, and he birdied, as we mentioned, the 17th and the 18th to finish at 2-under. Xander Schauffele did the same thing to finish 2-over. It was a rough day for Xander. He's currently at 2-over, though, which is only 6 shots off the lead. What do you think his odds are to
Xander?
Win? Yes, Xander.
Shoot, 45-1.
Oh, 28-1.
28-1.
So this is your one-and-done pick. The odds makers like him considerably more than you seem to. I mean, would you be, given what I know you didn't catch it all day, but what you know of the way he played?
I just don't think he's quite driving it straight enough. I think he's working on his game a little bit too much. But to go from 4-over to 2-over, you definitely go to bed feeling like you still have a chance. But I think over the last 5 years is a stat we ran during the coverage that if you weren't within 4 shots of the lead, or at least after day one,
yes,
over the last 5 years, the winner has been within 4 shots of the lead.
Yeah.
So technically he'd be 6 back and wouldn't fit that trend.
Well, and then, so we know the cut line, it's 60 in ties here at the U.S. Open, of course. And while the cut line right now is technically a 3-over cut line, we all know and believe that tomorrow it's going to go a little bit further back. I think you were guessing around 6-over.
Yeah.
But
that's what it was, and I think in 16.
And as of right now, Bryson DeChambeau would be on that cut line at 3-over. What would you guess for his odds to outright win the tournament at this
today?
Juncture? He was 3-over par.
Shot 3-over?
Yeah, 73.
Him and Scotty both are 3, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so I would imagine that Bryson's odds are going to be probably around 20-1.
Just about that, 18-1.
Yeah, and Scotty's probably around 15-1.
And I thought this was interesting. Another guy we're going to talk about in a little bit is he. Bryson had a pretty solid day off the tee. Last I checked, he was 12th.
Yeah, in the field. Bad day putting.
Bad day putting and bad day just chipping around the green. So
that's not. I mean, the chipping around the green is so just all over the place. It really is all over the place. So that's you know, you kind of take that with a grain of salt. Sometimes it's, you know, for instance, it was all happening on one hole that is stats got skewed a little bit. I think it was the 12th hole. He was like the back of the green, tried to play this flop shot thing and end up like boning it way long to the right, then left it short. So when you're, when you have to hit three chips on a hole, you're short.
Skewing it.
Yeah. But the putting definitely was, he didn't make anything of significance. He made a bogey putt of, I think in that 8 to 10 foot range, maybe on a hole. I can't remember what hole it was, but yeah, it was a little surprising, but especially if I would have thought that Bryson played poorly, I would have said it was because the ball striking wasn't quite there, like not irons, because of the short game. So I still feel okay about Bryson this week. I think he's got the firepower to make birdies. Mm-hmm. So Bryson and Scotty, I still feel like, are not out of the golf tournament. I know I just said that about Xander, but I think Bryson and Scotty have been in much better form than Xander coming into the week.
Well, and it seemed like the grind for a lot of guys today was on the greens. I mean, Victor Hovland missed a number of short ones. Bryson missed some opportunities where they were, you know, they weren't automatic, but they were makeable 5 to 6 foot range, didn't even hit the hole. Another guy that looked surprised at some reads was Scotty Scheffler, who, as you mentioned, finishes at 3 over. What do you think Scotty's odds to win the tournament outright are?
I was going to guess 15 to 1.
15 to 1?
Yeah.
Really? Still plus 650. Still the next
plus
shortest.
Plus 650?
Plus 650. Wow. 6 to 1. So, well, I mean, I think they believe, and I think the interesting thing about that today, and maybe this factors into why he's priced that, is his worst category strokes game-wise was approach today.
Yeah, well, shame on me for saying that Scottie Scheffler should ever be 15 to 1 if, when he's when he's only, I guess, 7 back of the lead with 54 holes to play. Yeah, it was an off day for Scotty, which we don't typically see. Most times when he's off, he turns them into even par days. So unusual to see that, you know, for the most part, he's been so great at, you know, finding a way on days where just it's not going his way. But Oakmont has a funny way of denying those requests.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and it comes out of that Poe, I think, a couple putts where there's one in particular he was shocked about that he thought was going to move left of the hole, goes right, you know, gives that stunned deer in the headlights look to Ted Scott. The last guy we're going to talk about, Rory McIlroy, 4 over. What do you think Rory's priced at to win this golf tournament?
Oof. 4 over?
Yeah.
Man, probably 35 to 1.
On the number. He starts it on the number, he ends it on the number. 35 to 1. Again, well, he was seventh in the field in strokes gained off the tee, but just really bad approach numbers. And I think that's maybe a bit surprising to some people who are going to look at that score and assume it's a continuation of the two-way misses with the driver and switching back and forth. But, I mean, seventh in the field is obviously good. And you know, I wonder if that gives you any more optimism, knowing that if that's a superpower, you know, he could get back on track, or if it's like, well, if he's doing that off the tee and he's scoring it that way, he's done.
Well, he got off to a good start, but he started on the side. The back nine was playing about a shot easier today. I think it had to do a little bit with some hole locations and some wind directions that made the backside play easier than the front. But gets over to the front side, shoots a 41. He got off to a great start. I mean, I was thinking after that drive at 12, I was like, all right, everybody's put on notice. Rory McIlroy's found his driver, and, you know, just was kind of sloppy. You know, he's still fighting his golf swing a little bit.
Yeah. That's Smiley's takes and some good guessing on all those outright odds on DraftKings. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code Smiley Show. That's SMYLIESHOW for new customers to score 300 in bonus bets when you win your $5 bet only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bet must win to receive reward. Minimum minus 500 odds required. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio.
Smiley, you've had a long day in the booth, so we're not going to hold you too much longer. I just have a few just statements I need to make on behalf of both Jackson and I. Pittsburgh, maybe a top five American city. We are loving north side of Pittsburgh, and we got to give a shout out to Verdetto's and a shout out to Max's Allegheny Tavern, because we are actually regulars at Verdetto's now. We own the jukebox. We've been every night.
Oh, I love a good jukebox.
We're drinking the 22-ounce Yinglings.
What are you putting in on the jukebox?
We had an eclectic mix the other night.
Yeah, what were y'all sending me this morning? You sent me a video of a song.
Was that Just Breathe? Yeah, it was.
Full Faith Hill, y'all were throwing that on last night?
Well, there was no Faith Hill last night, but it was just one of those things where, you know, Jax and I are already falling in love with the city. We're getting excited. It's like 6:15 in the morning. We're headed to the U.S. Open at Oakmont, and you turn on your car, you put on SiriusXM radio, and you need a day starter. You need a vibe jumper. And Faith Hill comes on, the smooth, dulcet tones, and he just, the sun's shining. Like, we're going to have a great day today, Jackson.
I love that.
Had a little sing-along. And boy, well,
what else
did
you throw on the jukebox?
I put on Venga Boys, Boom, 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 to Jackson's horror. But then I also redeemed myself with Creed, One well, Last Breath.
Okay, good. I was just making sure that Creed was played.
And was sung loudly.
Good.
So
well said.
So thank you to the good people of Pittsburgh. We're loving this place. We're enjoying it. We'll be right back here the next 3 days.
Just come on, take a peek.
It's so good.
Just
let's get Jackson to move the camera here as we end the show. We need Bryson to make the cut because we need Bryson to be out here on Saturday night so we can watch him grinding. That's what we need.
It is quite the scene here. Just fresh divot patterns. You got to appreciate the guys just caring for the course.
Such a pure place. We're, of course, super thankful to the USGA for hooking it up. And we're excited to be out here. Keep it rolling, Smiley.
All right, prediction end of the day tomorrow. What is the leading score? Currently, it's at 4-under. I'll leave you with that.
So you want to do leading score and cut line?
No cut line.
No cut line, leading score. Leading score, I think, is going to be...
To stay at 4? Does it go past 4?
I think it's going to be 2-under.
Holy moly. I'm not quite with you there in that endeavor. I'm gonna say it's gonna be 6-under.
Because here's my thought on that, and I don't think we have any rain forecast overnight. But
afternoon thunderstorms are a possibility.
So my guess is that my hope is that it really firms up and plays harder in the morning, and then I think the scores drift back up when we get rain late tomorrow. We get rain Saturday. We get some rain Sunday.
I take it back. I'm gonna stick with 4-under, right where it's at right now.
4-under. Yep. But here's the good news, though, is if it does rain, you know your boy's going to be out here in rain shorts. We're going to get those things rolling, baby.
I think you got to wear them anyways. I think people are clamoring for
them. I'm going to have to. Jackson and I are going to make some rain shorts content.
Have y'all got a merch?
We did. Jackson did another merch run. Okay. I have two squirrels at home. I bought one squirrel that I thought Walker would like. Shout out to us. We're dads. Happy Father's Day week to us. And then I got a second one because I didn't know if he'd like it as much. So I'm falling victim of the merch again.
All right, well, it's dark, and I'm going to get lost on my way home.
So yeah, let's get out of here. We'll see you tomorrow.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our first lovely time fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the...